This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Very short message today. It's regarding what we've been seeing around in the media in the recent days, recent weeks, with this whole exposure of meats being portrayed as beef and so on, and instead of that, finding horse meat. What this shows is that despite all of the checks and measures in place that supermarkets have, like Tesco and other places, you can still see how this system can be exploited. And the reason for it is quite simple. Meat is a product that is very difficult sometimes to distinguish between one type to another, especially when it's in not a steak, for example, especially when it's kind of all minced up as minced meat or in some other form. And people are going to use a way to make money, whether they by giving you inferior meat or whether by replacing it with something else. So this is a scam that's happening throughout the world because it's just based on human fading. There was a, if you look at the Muslims, we've had this problem for a very long time where it's even more complicated because they'll give you beef, so it is real beef that they're giving you, but it's not halal. Or they're giving you real lamb or chicken, but it's not halal because it's not done properly. There was a, and the problem with this is that it's not just people who are known to be transgressors, like outwardly transgressing, people who are outwardly sinning who are doing this. The problem with this is that it's just such a hidden problem, and it's something so easy to hide, and that you have to rely on trust in this case. You have to rely on the trustworthiness of the system that you're using. And that's why we have certain organizations that help to do this. So one example in another country where there was a madrasa with students, and there was somebody who was related to one of the teachers, so seemingly a pious individual, who fed the students their chicken from a farm that was not halal, saying that it was halal. And maybe people trusted them based on what they were seeing in front of them, right? So it was chicken that they were feeding them. It wasn't horse meat, obviously, but at the same time, it wasn't halal, which is really important for us that we eat halal in that particular way. Now, the recent problems that we're seeing with the what's going on in with the horse meat and everything like that, it just goes to show how big the problem is and how far the problem has gone, and it's all over. Nowadays, with the DNA testing, it makes it easy for us to be able to check, and that's why it's going to become, inshallah, increasingly more difficult to adulterate meat or to change it or to replace it, to sell something in place of something else. For example, in South Africa, there's a halal certifying agency which came under major fire last year or about 6 months ago, because clearly somebody took a clandestine video, a secret video of their storehouse, of their storerooms, their freezers and so on, where they saw that they were taking the labels off very carefully using a heat gun, and then they were replacing them. So it was pork being sold as halal meat, which was really problematic. It goes even further. There were some packages of pork something that was said halal pork, meaning there's so much ignorance in the industry as well from non-Muslims who think that they can make an extra buck by just putting halal. If you go to many of the high street takeaways nowadays, chicken shops, nearly every one of them is halal, whether it's owned by a Muslim or non-Muslim. I walked to one the other day and it says halal on there. I went inside it. I said, are you guys halal? And clearly they were not Muslim or anything, but putting the halal sign up there will attract some customers, especially those who are not very careful, who just want to find an excuse. Because there's a lot of people, a lot of Muslims, who just say, as long as it says halal, it's halal. Right? As long as it says halal, it's halal. You're willing to look at it optimistically. You're willing to give people the benefit of the doubt like that. You're willing to just trust them, despite knowing that there's such a big problem in the industry. Now, we should have trust for people, but when you know that it can be exploited and a particular industry is very vulnerable to that, then you need to be extra careful. And that's what I think is the main message of today. You have to be really, really careful. That's why sometimes what happens is, because I know the industry, because I have friends who are working in the industry, somebody tells me something is halal and I'm going and I'm checking and they're telling me, don't you trust us? I says, absolutely, I trust. But the problem is, like, I go to a meat shop or a takeaway and I say, are you people halal? Can you show me where you're getting your meat from and so on? And they get very offended sometimes, right? Although people are increasingly becoming a bit more tolerant to that because they know that people are concerned. So they say, don't you trust us? I said, look, I trust you that you are buying from someone you think it's halal, but I know the industry. I know people who work in this industry from, you know, top to bottom, and we know the problems that are taking place there and the manipulation that takes place. So you might be buying something that you think is halal. So the shopkeeper is telling you it's halal because he thinks it's halal. Right, the restaurant is selling you halal because they think it's halal, but their supplier isn't halal. Their supplier is the one that is causing them a problem. Some time ago in America, I was working with another scholar who was working in this industry. He was working directly with a meat supplier, somebody who sources the meat, who gets it sacrificed, who cuts it, processes it, sends it to the restaurants and takeaways. He was very close to him and everything. Later he found out that he was also mixing. What that means is he had some halal, so you know, you've got a proof of some halal in the system, but then on the other hand he was mixing with that haram because it's a fraction of the price. The reason why there's a difference in this is generally halal is going to take longer to process. It's going to take longer to cut, to sacrifice, to slaughter, because it has to be done in a particular way. You can't just hang it up and just kill it, bolt it, you know, or stun it in this way that it just kills it. There's a very particular way, especially like chicken is really, really difficult. It takes longer if it has to be hand slaughtered as opposed to just machine slaughtered, or as opposed to just, you know, necks cut off, and the way that happens in different industries. If you go to the Middle East, even Egypt, when I went to Egypt, most of their non-donor meat, so their chicken, etc., you'd have to ask them, is this baladi? Baladi means, is this locally slaughtered? Because you could expect that anything that is locally slaughtered in Turkey, for example, or Egypt, or any other Middle Eastern country, it's majority Muslim country, so it's going to be a Muslim slaughtering it, so you can be happy there. But the problem is with the meat that is what they call mustawrad, that is imported. That is where the problem is. Most, or a lot of the meat, right, unless it's changed recently, has always come from Brazil. Brazil has a massive export of so-called halal meat. And people who have gone and checked it out, they've noticed that it's just literally a label, right? And just certain measures in place. They don't do anything. Friends of mine who went and they checked a particular company. They checked a particular company on the way they made halal sweets. Because there's a big company in Spain that makes sweets. These special jelly sweets, right? And actually, it was my brother. He went from Azhar Academy to go and have it specially manufactured. He sourced the gelatin specially from Pakistan, had it checked out there by some of the scholars there, so it make sure that he gets it from the right place there as well. Because even in Pakistan, you can have corruption in this regard as well, right? You know, they could give you oil made from donkey meat, right, or from donkey's fat, or anything else for that matter. Because people make a buck wherever they can. Right, recently there was a problem with making milk out of in India, making milk, producing milk artificially out of some washing powder and something else that makes it look like milk, and it even has a pH of higher than milk, which was quite crazy. And it tastes the same because they put some flour in there, and some kind of sweet flour and so on in there, and they make milk. It cost them much less than to get it from a cow or a buffalo, and they were selling that off. So this is a big problematic industry, and we're hooked to meat. That's the other problem, right? The Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith that meat has an addiction. There's a hadith in Muwatta which says that meat has an addiction, right? And many of us, unfortunately, we're hooked to meat, which is really problematic. The Prophet ﷺ was not a vegetarian, and it's not, you know, it's not in Islam, it's not encouraged or even permissible to be a vegetarian, you know, just because you hate meat, or to hate meat for that matter. But it's not something that should be consumed all the time anyway. Going back to the halal issue, so when my brother went to this place, they said, you know, the kind of checking, he went with the HMC from here, and the company was quite surprised. They said that we've had so many companies come before to produce so-called halal sweets here. They would just literally look around a bit and then they would certify us. But the way you guys wanting, we're learning so much from you as to what really is halal, what really should be halal. So this is the problem with the industry. Brazilian meat, a lot of it is problematic like this. You can find the Brazilian meat processed in cans, in tins and so on with long due dates. And it says, you know, slaughtered according to the Islamic way. That's what it says. Whose Islamic way? Right? There are scholars out there who will take the most lenient opinion that are unacceptable sometimes, and they will just certify something. Right? You have to be really, really careful. Now, the thing here is that sometimes it's not a deception, it's just misunderstanding or another opinion. So I've been into stores in America where they say, we have our machine slaughtered in this particular way. Right, we have our meat slaughtered in this particular way. That is what you call machine slaughtered. We say Bismillah when starting off the machine and the starting of the day, because they have a fatwa from a scholar saying that it's okay. So they're not deceiving you. They're saying it very clearly on the wall, but it's unacceptable to the to the majority of the ulama that don't agree with that. For example, so you have to be extremely careful. We have people who are, you know, decent practicing people concerned about their halal, but they will just go with anything that says halal, and that is not sufficient. There's a problem in this market. There's a problem in this industry that you need to realize, and you have to be really careful, because the hadiths about this are very severe. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La yadkhulul jannata jasadun ghudhiya bil haram." A body that has been nourished on the haram will not enter paradise. That is quite severe. I mean, we don't want ourselves and our children to be nourished with haram. I mean, we have to be really, really careful. There's another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a hadith of Muslim, where it mentions about this person who is who's after this long journey. You can tell, you know, if you see somebody coming back from a long journey where they've got dust in their hair, dust on their clothes, you feel sorry for them. Here, have some water, right? Such a person. And we know in Islam also that anybody who's in a kind of a difficult situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supports them and has compassion for them. In this case though, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam strikes this example of a person who's just come from a very long journey, and then he puts his hands up and he's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, but it says, "Anna yustajabu lihada." Where is this person's dua going to be accepted? Because his food was haram, his clothing was haram, everything about him was haram. Haram prevents the dua from being accepted. And the believers' du'as are extremely important. That's why you see today, subhanAllah, thousands, millions of people making du'a for our brothers in Palestine and other places. Unfortunately, du'as are not being accepted, right? There's also another hadith which mentions that anybody who consumes haram, their du'as will not be accepted, or their worship will not be accepted for 40 days. Now, that is a difficult one. Many people, they come and they ask, the question that they have, the concern they have is that we were fed haram by mistake. Right, a woman said the other day that she bought something, she didn't check the ingredients out, because generally that kind of a product is generally halal. Then she even fed it to somebody else, and later on when she checked it, if she found out it was haram after a month or something, she's really worried what she's done to somebody else. Now in that case, we can just hope to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if somebody has, under misunderstanding, mistakenly, unknowingly, you know, taken something like that, and generally they're very careful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just forgive us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our du'as. We can just pray to Allah. Allah can turn things around. You know, there's no laws that bind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? But of course, it's a warning. So be very careful. Now, I don't work for the HMC, but I know the people. I know many people who work in there. And for me, when I came back to England, it was a godsend, because literally you see a HMC poster, a yellow poster at the, you know, on the door or on the window, and you know, you can go and check their certificate out inside, and you feel comfortable. Because look, even HMC or any other organization, nobody is perfect, because there are just so many ways of deceiving. That's the problem with this industry. There are just so many ways of deception in this industry, right? It's just crazy. There's just so many ways you could do this. You could have HMC meat, and you could also be getting from another supplier, and just do it very carefully where you put it somewhere else, or whatever the case is, so when the inspector comes and checks. So there is no system that is perfect. So just because HMC or any other proper organization, right, in any other country, Sanha in South Africa, or HMA, I believe, in Canada, there's the Halal Advocates in America, they could have problems. There's going to be problems. They could be managerial problems. There could be administration problems. There could be oversight. There could be, because at the end of the day, these are human beings who are working. There could be a mistake. You can't write off the whole organization just because of a mistake that they made, because the mistake is not systematic. The mistake is not systematically trying to feed somebody haram. It's an oversight. It's a mistake. It's a blunder. Right, so you have to realize that. Yes, if there's an organization whose policies are lenient to start with, whose policies aren't thorough, their checking isn't proper, their procedures aren't thorough, right? Then obviously, then you know that you can't trust that organization. But when an organization is generally thorough, they make a mistake. You can't take them to task for it. I mean, nobody's perfect. We're not perfect. Nobody else is perfect. No organization, no business, nothing is perfect. But to tell the truth, out of all of the organizations out there that I've looked at, HMC in this country, and this is not a bayan about HMC, this is just about trying to eat the halal wherever you are. HMC just gives us assurance, which we never had before, that somebody has gone and to some length in trying to determine whether what's available in this shop in terms of fresh meat, halal meat, or this restaurant is supposed to be halal. There could be an error there, but you or I are not going to find that error more than HMC is. HMC is better situated because they can go and check it every day, because one of their conditions is that their inspector can go in anytime and check. We can't do that. We can go to the shopkeeper and he said come tomorrow, and he's got it all organized, right? At the end of the day, it could be anybody, but what HMC has the power to do, we don't individually don't have the power to do. That's why it's better if we trust them. This obviously does not mean that anybody who's not HMC is not going to be halal. Right, you can't say that, because we don't know. They may have not just signed up for whatever other reason. They may, in fact, there are some companies, individuals, who are even more stricter than HMC, that won't even accept certain HMC ways, which are really difficult. And the problem is HMC can't go that way, because then it would really make the whole industry difficult to get meat for. Right, because you have to be able to give the concessions where you can, because it's a very difficult industry to deal with. So, the whole point of today is to show that we've got some major problem in this industry in general. You can see that even big major organizations like Tesco, who have huge amounts of resources behind them, can be tricked, can be deceived into selling something that they're labeling as something else that they have to pull off the shelf. Look at the reputation problem. Look at the problem this is going to cause this whole industry. I mean, the media is all about it. The halal market, which is not even regulated, right? There's not even a definition of halal that is agreed upon in the government, and thus you can't even penalize somebody who's selling something totally haram as halal, because there's no particular, you know, agreed upon definition that everybody has agreed to. You have to be extremely careful. That's why it's an individual's responsibility. Where there's doubt, try to avoid it as far as possible. Where there is possibility, then don't try to be over. Where something is considered halal according to the ulama, then don't be doubtful. Because just as it is haram and unlawful and wrong to make something halal haram, something halal, or rather haram into halal, right, and say that this is halal where it's not, it's also wrong to make something haram, something halal into haram. So you can't instill your extremely cautious opinion on others, but you can definitely practice it for yourself, right? Now, the ways to be careful also is with ingredients. Be careful in what you're getting. Another problem that is in the industry is cross-contamination. For example, Subway. A lot of people like to eat from Subway because they think they can get a vegetarian sandwich made from there, right, and avoid the meat. The problem is that many Subways, from when I checked it out last time and since then, I've stopped eating from there, and I think must have eaten from there once or twice in America, right, because it is the biggest chain in the world, the biggest food chain in the world, right, so it's everywhere. Now, what the problem is that they will use gloves or spatulas or whatever they use, and they will put it into the meat and they will put it into the vegetables. They don't have a policy, from the last time that I checked, of having a separate way to take from the vegetarian ingredients or vegetarian the vegetarian products and the meat products. They'll just use the same hand for both. So there's cross-contamination. That's what the problem with Subway is. The only way that it would be possible is that if you get to know the person and you explain your situation to them, and they're really careful, so they're not now taking they might say to you that okay, we'll use now a different glove, but it's already could have been cross-contaminated from the previous customers. So the only way that I could see this to be halal then, and this is a problem in pizza stores as well, right? The only way I could see then this to be halal is if you talk to the guy behind the counter and they go and take from a new batch of cheese or tomatoes or whatever it is, and then they're very particular, taken from the source with new gloves on and something like that. Right, I can only see that to be the way. Otherwise, you have to be extremely careful. That's why I say, really, in this country, you haven't lived in other countries where this is a big problem. Right, we're dealing with minor problems here compared to in America. I had to drive literally from here to Leicester, that distance of 100 and something miles to get my halal meat. And that was the one thing that I could not shop around for to get the best price. Literally, in Los Angeles, there was a Maulana there, one of the scholars there who knew this industry. He was working with, you know, some of the abattoirs, and he was working with some of the meat shops. And I would ask him, I would call him up as I was on my way to LA with a cooler box, Sheikh, which shop should I go to? And he would tell me, okay, this time you go to, you know, this one on Catella Avenue or on, you know, Brookhurst or this street or that street. I would go there, close my eyes and order what I had to, pay whatever they said and bring it back. And the strange thing was that every month or 2 months that I would go down, I would have to ask him which one is okay. Because there were very few that were trustworthy where you could get from every time. The others, they would be okay for a while and then greed would take over. They would get from something haram. They would get from a haram source. It's just a major problem. It's just a major problem. That's why the Sheikh was always on top of it. Okay, which restaurant is fine this time? Right? He says, okay, it's this Chinese, you know, they're fine this time. This time it's that, you know, so-and-so. So I would have to ask him each time. This industry is something you have to keep on top of. Even when it comes to ingredients, one man, you can't have a one-man organization that deals with this, because there are so many ingredients in so many countries, so many companies, Roundtree's, Mars Company, Cadbury's Company, the crisp companies, the, you know, the different companies that you have, the food manufacturers and so on, they're constantly changing their ingredients. So you could receive a letter that, okay, the glycerol, the gelatin, or the glycerin is from vegetarian source, and then suddenly, 2 months down the line, they find a cheaper source, they're going to use that. So you have to constantly be in touch with them. That is why it's so difficult. That's why, as I say, organizations like the HMC are literally a blessing, because they make the job easy, although they're not into these ingredients and so, as much as they are into the meats and so on. But may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them and even others to get into the industry to even deal with that. There is an organization in Gloucester, I think it's GMWA. Right, if you look for GMWA, there's a Mufti Abdullah there in Gloucester who's, mashallah, working, who's been working on these ingredients and things like that. Again, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him more strength and more himmah and more barakah in his time so that he can work on this a bit more, inshallah. But the main point here is that there's a problem in the industry. Let us be careful. Let us be careful, and you can't be too trusting, because there are two things in Islam. There are two things in Islam where the default is that they're haram unless they're proven to be halal. In everything else, it's permissible until they're proven to be unlawful. So for example, if there's some kind of plant growing, some kind of fruit, it would be default halal unless you prove that it's poisonous, it's harmful, or it's haram for some other reason. But when it comes to two other things, which is meat, and number two, man and woman's intimacy, that is by default haram unless it's made halal. The first one, the meat, by a proper sacrifice, a proper slaughter from the neck where all the blood pours out. And number two, through marriage, right? Through marriage or, in the previous days, through possession. But generally, we're talking about marriage when it comes to husband and wife, men and women relationship. And when it comes to meat, it's about a proper sacrifice. Right. The other day I was at a farmer's market and they're selling quails and pheasants and things like that from a farm somewhere in Surrey or somewhere like that. So I said, you know, is it possible for somebody to come there? And they said, well, these are shot down because they're wild animals, so they're shot down. So then I explained to the person that, I said, well, the way that works in Islam is that you shoot it, right? Because I've done this in South Africa, you know, you hunt. So you shoot the fowl or whatever it is, and then you run quickly and grab the animal before it dies, because it doesn't die immediately, it's wounded. Right, but it will die eventually. So you grab it and then you sacrifice it, and then it becomes halal. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow these companies to get even better so that they can do better for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us away from the haram and make it easy for us to abstain from it. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive any mistakes that we've had in the past with consumptions of halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove any obstacles that are there in our path from our du'as, that they're not being accepted. May Allah accept all of our du'as. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.